जय राधा मारवा कुंजा बिहारी। जय राधा मारवा कुंजा बिहारी। गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारि। गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारि। यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रभुजगदाचार्य सतत सत श्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णवृंद की। प्रेम से गौ श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्यारवैत करार शिव सारि गौर भक्तवृंद की। श्री श्री राधे कृष्ण गौ गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधे कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की। श्री वृंदावन धाम की। श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की। गंगा माई की, जमुना माई की, भक्ति देवी की, श्रीमती तुलसी देवी की, समवेद भक्तवृंद की। All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to all the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories, Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're supposed to cover the chapter 12. Of Canto 10, Srimad Bhagavatam, verses 1 to 3, and the introduction as well. So I'll begin by reading the introduction. And as we listen to this, we should see how Krishna here is weaving a wonderful tapestry of his pastimes, of charming, which are very charming, attractive, enjoyable, and exciting displays of his most personal and effortless fulfillments of his desires. We can relate to becoming absorbed in his very human acts because his activities are completely attractive to all the living jivas. So in this 12th chapter, the summary is as follows, of Krishna's pastime of killing Agasura. One day, Krishna wanted to enjoy a picnic lunch within the forest. Therefore, he went out early into the forest with other cowherd boys, accompanied by their respective groups of calves. While they were enjoying their picnic, Agasura, the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura, appeared there, desiring to kill Krishna and his companions. The demon, who had been sent by Kamsa, assumed the form of a python, expanding himself to a length of 8 miles and a height of a mountain. His mouth seemed to extend from the surface of the earth to the heavenly planets. Having assumed this feature, Agasura lay on the road. Krishna's friends, the coward boys, thought that the demon's form was one of the beautiful spots of Vrindavan. Thus, they wanted to enter within the mouth of this gigantic python. The gigantic figure of this python became a subject for their sporting pleasure, and they began to laugh, confident that even if this figure were dangerous, Krishna was there to protect them. In this way, they proceeded towards the mouth of the gigantic figure. Krishna knew everything about Agasura, and therefore he wanted to forbid his friends to enter into the demon's mouth. But in the meantime, all the coward boys, along with their groups of calves, entered the mouth of the gigantic figure. Krishna was waiting outside, and Agasura was waiting for Krishna, thinking that as soon as Krishna entered, he would close his mouth so that everyone would die. While waiting for Krishna, he refrained from swallowing the boys. In the meantime, Krishna was thinking how to save the boys and kill Agasura. Thus, he entered the mouth of the gigantic Asura, and when he was within the demon's mouth, along with his friends, he expanded his body to such an extent that the Asura suffocated and died. After this, Krishna, by casting his nectarian glance upon his friends, brought them back to life, and with pleasure they all came out unhurt. Thus, Krishna encouraged all the demigods, and they expressed their pleasure and happiness. For a crooked, sinful person, there is no scope for Sayuja Mukti, or becoming one with the effulgence of Krishna. But because the Supreme Personality of God had entered the body of Agasura, by his touch, this demon got the opportunity to merge into the existence of the Brahman effulgence and thus attain Sayuja Mukti. When this pastime was performed, Krishna was only 5 years old. 1 year later, when he was 6 years old, and he stepped into the Pauganda age, this pastime was disclosed to the inhabitants of Raja. Pariksit Maharaj inquired, "Why is it that this pastime was disclosed only after 1 year, and yet the inhabitants of Raja thought it had been performed that very day?" With this question, the 12th chapter ends. So for the verses, I'll read through text 1 and 2, and then we'll chant together text 3. Sri Sukha Uvacha Kvachid Vanashaya Mano Dadad Rajat Mprata Samutaya Vayashya Vata Vatsapan Prabodayan Tringaravena Charuna Vinirgato Vatsa Purasho Hari. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "O King, one day Krishna decided to take his breakfast as a picnic in the forest. Having risen early in the morning, he blew his bugle made of horn and woke all the coward boys and calves with his beautiful sound. Then Krishna and the boys, keeping their respective groups of calves before them, proceeded from Vrajabhumi to the forest. Danaiva sakam prituka sahasrasa snigda sushig vetra vishana venava swan swan sahasropari sankhyayan vitan vatsan pura skritya venir yayur muda. At that time, hundreds and thousands of coward boys came out of their respective homes in Vrajabhumi and joined Krishna, keeping them keeping before them their hundreds and thousands of groups of calves. The boys were very beautiful, and they were equipped with lunch bags, bugles, flutes, and sticks for controlling the calves. Text 3. Krishna Vasar Ashankyatar Yuti Krita Swalvatsakan Charyanto Rabha Lila Bir Vidrahus Tatra Tatraha Krishna Vatsara Asankyatar Yuti Kritya Svavatsakan Jarayanto Rabha Lila Bir Vidrahus Tatra Tatra Krishna Vatsara Asankyatar Yuti Kritya Svavatsakan Jarianto Rabha Lila Bir Vidrahus Tatra Tatra. Please stand.
Krishna Vatsara
Yuti Kritya Svavatsakam Jariyanto Rabhalu Labir Yujahu Tatra Tatra Krishna Sakti Vajata Yuti Kritya Svavatsakam Jariyanto Rabhalu Labir Yajau Tatu Tata Krishna Vatara Sankyataya Yuti Kritya Savatsakan Jayanto Rabali Lavi Yajau Tatu Tata.
Ladies?
Yuti Kritya Svavatsakam Jayanto
Ramayana
Yuti Kritya Svavatsakam Krishna,
Krishna
of Lord Krishna,
Krishna.
Vatsa,
along with the calves,
Asankyatai,
unlimited,
Yuti Kritya,
assembled them,
Svavatsakan,
personal calves.
Charayanta,
executing.
Arbalilabi,
by boyhood pastimes.
Vidrahu,
enjoyed.
Tatra
Tatra,
here and there.
Ha,
indeed.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Along with the cowherd boys and their own groups of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves assembled. Then all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. Please repeat. Along with the cowherd boys and their own group of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves assembled. Then all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. Purport. In this verse, the words Krishna Vatsar Asankyatai are significant. The word Asankyata means unlimited. Krishna's calves were unlimited. We may speak of hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, billions, trillions, tens of trillions, and so forth. But when we go further to speak of numbers impossible for us to count, we are speaking of unlimited numbers. Such unlimited numbers are indicated here by the word asankhyatai. Krishna is unlimited. His potency is unlimited. His cows and calves are unlimited. And his space is unlimited. Therefore, he is described in Bhagavad Gita's Param Brahman. The word Brahman means unlimited, and Krishna is the supreme unlimited, Param Brahman. Therefore, we should not consider the statements of this verse to be mythological. They are factual, but inconceivable. Krishna can accommodate an unlimited number of calves and an unlimited measurement of space. This is neither mythological nor false. But if we study Krishna's potency with our unlimited knowledge, with our limited knowledge, that potency will never be possible to understand. Atashi Krishna Nama Di Nabhaved Grayan Indriyai. Our senses cannot perceive how he could keep an unlimited number of calves and cows and have unlimited space in which to do so. But this is answered in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Evam prabho priyanam cha damnas cha samayasya cha avichintya prabhavatad atra kinchen nadurgatam. Srila Sanatana Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita states that since everything about Krishna is unlimited, nothing is impossible for him. In this sense, we have to understand this verse. Om agamatam varandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam grini bhutale svayam rupa karamayam dadati svapadantikam. So in this series of readings, there are some different presentations of Krishna made. The first presentation in the introduction that struck me is that Krishna is performing his Nara Lila, his human-like pastimes. He's going on a great picnic with his friends, and they're playing along the way, and he's taking cows and calves and enjoying the whole adventure. So we can relate to this activity as human beings. It becomes quite attractive to us, very human-like, even though he is, as Prabhupada states here, Parabrahman, the unlimited, supreme person. Still, his activities are human-like and very attractive to us. So this makes Krishna supreme. How he can be so human-like in his activities and at the same time possess unlimited powers, unlimited potencies. very confusing to the non-devotees. Very confusing. They don't understand exactly. They don't have the qualification to understand, nor do they have the faith to understand Krishna. So in this verse, in particular, Prabhupada is now turning and highlighting an opposing or inconceivable aspect of Krishna. How Krishna is unlimited beyond our perception, beyond our contemplation, our ability to understand. Very difficult to understand Krishna, because Krishna makes the impossible possible, and he makes what appears to be possible impossible. So he reconciles all these contradictions. Very difficult, but very encouraging to the devotee. Because in this material world, devotee faces many challenges in the prosecution of Krishna consciousness. So what may seem impossible by the mercy of Krishna becomes possible. And that is Krishna's mercy, which is very much attracts his devotees. So, in particular, there's additional descriptions of Krishna's unlimited potencies. In the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, in the 9th chapter, there's descriptions coming from the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishna's absolute nature. It goes as follows. The Lord next explained the situation of different spiritual planets in the spiritual sky. The spiritual planets are known as Vaikuntha planets. The universes of the material creation have a limited length and breadth, but as far as Vaikuntha planets are concerned, there is no limitation to their dimensions because they are spiritual. Lord Chaitanya informed Sanatana Goswami that the length and breadth of each and every Vaikuntha planet is millions and billions of miles. Each of these planets is unlimitedly expanded, and each and every one of them there are residents who are full in all six opulences: wealth, strength, knowledge, beauty, fame, and renunciation. In each and every one of these Vaikuntha planets, an expansion of Krishna has his eternal abode, and Krishna himself has his original abode, eternal abode called Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan. So this description is actually beyond our comprehension, how there can be a planet that is millions and billions of miles, a Vaikuntha planet, far beyond our comprehension, their size and the qualities of the persons that live there, reside there, is also inconceivable because we have no such comparison in this material world. So another inconceivable aspect of Krishna. In this verse, there is also another reference given from the teaching of the Lord Chaitanya. Refers to this following verse. It says, "No one," from the 10th canto, 14th chapter, when Lord Brahma has his later realizations about Krishna's inconceivable potency. He says, "No one can estimate the length and breadth of the Vaikuntha planets." And in particular, Prabhupada explains here that the when Krishna incarnates in different forms among the demigods, human beings, animals, and fish, this does not mean the Lord becomes degraded in any way. So our Brahma clarifies this so the conditioned soul can understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's activities, which he enacts through his spiritual potency. Krishna is still Bhagavan. He is supremely beautiful personality, exhibiting pastimes of love in his own abode. So this is also the nature of Krishna. He has unlimited love, and he is constantly engaging in different pastimes for his own pleasure. All these features of Krishna are important for us to understand as we're reading in the 10th canto, his Nara Lila, his human-like pastimes, because they can appear very contradictory and confusing. In particular, there was in 1975, June in L.A., a group of Prabhupada's disciples approached him, and they asked some questions about these inconceivable leelas, which I found to be a very unique and interesting exchange with Prabhupada. So let me just read it to you so you can follow it. Devotees are approaching Prabhupada, these two devotees, and they were asking him about Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. In particular, they asked, he said, "We have also some questions that don't require that. They are philosophical questions. For instance, in Krishna book, there is a statement that King Ugrasena had 4 billion personal servants. Now you have asked that we go and spread Krishna consciousness in the scientific community." Prabhupada responds, "So everyone is Krishna's servant. What is the question of 4 billion? Krishna's servant." And the devotee says, "No, Ugrasena, King Ugrasena, that when he was on the planet, he had 4 billion personal servants." Prabhupada responds, "That's all right. He is always the master. He, Krishna, is the only master." So they go on to question this. They said, "No, King Ugrasena, Prabhupada, not Krishna. King Ugrasena, the statement is that King Ugrasena had 4 billion servants. Now we have gone and tried to spread to the scientific community, but if we say to them, there was this king whose name Indras Ugrasena, and he had 4 billion personal servants, they laugh and say, what do they do for toilets? What do they do for food? Where do they live?" Prabhupada responded, "So you want to preach this particular portion and no other portion?" So it would be nice if it stopped there, but they didn't stop. The devotee responded, "No, we want to know if the story has an allegorical meaning rather than a literal translation." So they want to know if it's mythology or an allegory. "Or that King Ugrasena was a man who lived 5,000 years ago and he had 4 billion bodyguards. Or whether the stories within the Bhagavatam, apart from some of them being actual, are allegorical stories. Such as the story of Krishna and Balaram chopping off the 88 and it stops." Prabhupada says, "All right, you can give up that portion. You can take the other portion." And the devotee responds, "We don't mean to give it up. We don't mean to give it up. We are just saying, how can we say this to them? Prabhupada, anyone, why are you going to preach that portion to a professor?" The devotee says, No, when they read your books, they pose that question to us. They read it. They say to us, unless we can answer that question." Prabhupada responds, "They ask to only you? They never asked to us." Rivatinanda Swami says, "They have. Sometimes they ask me." Prabhupada said, "That's all right. Let them ask. But you can tell them that you don't repeat this thing. You give up that portion. You read other portions." The devotee says, "But then, because so many things they have to accept on faith without knowing, if then weakens their faith as to what they should accept and why they should accept Krishna, they can't see any more than King Ugrasena's 4 billion bodyguards." Prabhupada says, "Don't accept. Don't accept." And the devotee responded, but we want to accept. The point is that we, if we say to a scientific man there was 4 billion, and if our statement was wrong, Prabhupada said, but our position is that if some portion we cannot understand, it is our incapability. The devotee says, that is all right, but since we are, Prabhupada responds, that's all. Unless we have got this faith, we cannot use these Puranas. In the Puranas, there are so many such statements. Yes, but we want to understand, Prabhupada. Therefore, many people do not accept the Puranas. So what can be done? And the devotee just continues. He won't let it go. But we are just trying to understand because we never dealt with the Puranas before. We have been your disciples, but when we present this to the scientific community, because you have said that if one word is wrong, the whole philosophy is wrong, so they will say to us, Prabhupada, so let them take it and throw it out. Don't read it. That's all. Then the devotee said, but then they discredit Bhagavad Gita. We don't like that when they discredit Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada, why? They don't believe. What is the use? So they just continue on with this line of reasoning. Prabhupada says, if a king has 4 billion servants, so that is not very astonishing. Why do you think that a king shall have only 4 servants? And the devotee says, well, there's only 2 billion people on the planet right now. Prabhupada said, that's all. The devotee says, so where did they all go? Prabhupada says, I say you don't believe, you don't take it. If you are insisting, why are you insisting on this point? If you don't believe, you don't take it. If you don't believe the whole book or the whole society, then who forbids you? And then finally, it skipped down a little bit. It says, they said, so we are presenting in our own way, Prabhupada. So do it in your own way. But we don't want to stop. We want to do everything Krishna's way. Prabhupada gets very strong at this point. Stop it. Stop it. I say stop it. You have come to me for advice. So I say you stop it. Then what should we do? Prabhupada, you should do your business, that's all. Earn money and enjoy. So at that point, Prabhupada has become completely frustrated because it's obvious that they have their own doubts and they are presenting them to Prabhupada. So here, in a way, Prabhupada is further answering the same point that we have to accept Krishna as he is, with faith, and his unlimited potencies, and the unlimited potencies of his devotees. If we cannot understand that, if we choose to accept and reject different points, then Prabhupada is giving the statement that they should just go out and earn money and enjoy. In other words, you're not a devotee. You have to accept Krishna's unlimited capacities. So this is the nature of this philosophy, this presentation of Krishna, that there is some portions that are very difficult for the ordinary conditioned souls to understand. We have limited capacity within our bodies. We are all pervading, but beyond that, our consciousness cannot extend. But Krishna's, he can extend to the entire spiritual and material creation. He is present everywhere. So his difference between he and us is so great that we cannot measure it. It is inconceivable. At the same time, Krishna comes and he acts as a human being. He demonstrates human-like pastimes to attract his devotees, to bring them into his close inner circle. And we can see that he has unlimited space, unlimited number of cows and calves, unlimited number of friends which to accommodate all these living entities. So there's no question of if there's like room for us. Like recently I met a Jehovah's Witness, and according to their studies, in the Bible, they say in heaven, the kingdom of God, there is only room for 144,000 servants. And yet they have 7 million members worldwide. So in that sense, there's no room in heaven for all the members. They have to remain here on earth. So this is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada is explaining, is unlimited reciprocation between Krishna and his unlimited number of devotees. And Krishna has infinite capacity to expand, to accommodate this unlimited expansion he has for his unlimited desires, which are simply there for his own enjoyment. So let me stop here and ask if there's any questions on this. Oh, Madan Mohan, you have a question, or are you just... want me to wait?
There's one part of that conversation that I thought I could just add that would make it clear why you said that. That in that same conversation, they said to Prabhupada, you're supposed to know everything.
Mm.
Yes. And he says, so you have to answer this question. And then Prabhupada very humbly says, you have found my weakness. He says, I don't know everything. I only know what my spiritual master has taught me. He says, but you, since you know so much, you don't need a spiritual master.
Mm.
He says, so that was right, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely not the proper mood for approaching the spiritual master in a challenging way. Yes, Mukunda Prabhu.
I just want to know, did they give you an answer? Because that's such a good point. If they say that only 144,000 will go, and they have 7 million members, did they try to answer that?
Have to have what?
No. When you brought that point up, because it's such a good point now, that there's 144,000 that they say will be allowed in, but there's 7 million members.
Yes.
What was his answer?
The rest of them are supposed to remain on this earth, and I guess they die and they wait for Christ to come so they'll all live again on the earth in Christ's kingdom. But in ruling over everyone, there are these superior persons who are in heaven, and only 144,000 are allowed to go there. I don't know how you get into that group. There must be... Yes, Trivikam Prabhu.
From what I understand, just like we have the New Age Satyog, they believe in a New Age also. And when that New Age comes, you know, everything starts back new and like heavenly again. So I guess that New Age would accommodate the balance of them. What in the scientific world, what we can accept is that there are unlimited planets, innumerable planets, and suns and moons and so forth, really. At least the scientific world can accept that. But of course, so far they can't see any life on any. See? So it seems that we're moving, this part is interesting, where we have, it's stated that Krishna has what? Incomprehensible amount of space, like that.
Unlimited space, yeah.
Unlimited space, really. And of course, the scientists can understand that part, unlimited space. But of course, they haven't come to the point where they can find...
Well, they have some, they invented some, their own idea of unlimited space when they talk about black holes, which can consume everything. Mm. But they're all so much imagination they have. They can't understand something, so they imagine what it is. How stars can burn up and disappear. We see that the sun, for example, has been... burning since the beginning of creation, and yet it never burns up. It's giving off the same heat and light, which is so intense that we cannot come anywhere near it. And yet it doesn't, it's not consumed, it doesn't stop. So they cannot actually explain all these things. How does that happen? What How does it occur that the sun can keep burning and burning and burning for from all the way in the past and all the way into the future? And when it stops, life will cease to exist as they know it. They cannot explain it. They just speculate on so many other things. You know, they have these dark holes and this and that, and they have so many speculations. And people accept them as true, but when they hear the words of the Bhagavatam, they cannot accept. Yes.
This is a nice chapter, and then next chapter coming to make the evidence of what Srila Prabhupada is speaking, that Athapite Deva Padambu Jadaya Prasad Alesha Anugrita. Brahmaji prayed that without Prasad mercy, this conception of Vrindavan cannot be understood. Because in next chapter, what this chapter is doing, making a platform for next chapter for us to understand where Brahmaji saw within 32 miles, you can say diameter, he saw unlimited universes. Each universe has Narayan. Each universe has Narayan with Lakshmi, with all these millions and millions of demigods. And he saw also many Brahmas. He saw unlimited within these 32 miles. So this platform is, this is beginning for to come to his confession that one has to have a submission and prasadam of mercy. Otherwise not possible. That's why Srila Prabhupada gave a nice purport on that sloka, that Brahmaji is challenging, who knows more than him? Anybody in this universe? Everything come only him, through him. Brahma is the first. All the Veda, everything come from him. So if he is confessing that he cannot know what is Vrindavan, so who else has the power? Only the mercy of Guru.
Yes, Brahma's intelligence is far superior to ours, yet he cannot understand. And then what to speak of what Lord Brahma sees within the 32-mile area of Vrindavan, Mother Jasoda saw all that within Krishna's mouth. So Krishna's inconceivable, and it's, the scientists make it impossible for us to comprehend Krishna's nature, because they seek rational and observable explanations for everything. Yet actually the material world is beyond their comprehension. They cannot even understand this material world. So they are defeated, but people so much accept that line of thought and reasoning and accept the authority of the scientists that their intelligence becomes polluted. It becomes spoiled so that they cannot accept. I mean, even the Christians, they think most of the Bible is allegories. It gives definite statements in the Old Testament. This person lived for 500 years, this one lived for 800 years, and they say that was just some exaggeration. It didn't really happen.
In the second canto, sixth chapter, in the universal form, there's a three universal form explained in second canto. So sixth chapter, there's one verse Prabhupada gives, this scientist, devotee should understand their position. The scientist, they do appreciate Krishna in a their own way, like when they discover some medicine, they get surprised, wow. They see the Grand Canyon or Himalaya or some terrible disaster, they do recognize and they do appreciate the nature. And Srila Prabhupada, very nice purport, I never thought about it or never heard it, that he says, when the scientists actually appreciate and glorify the nature's disaster, like tsunami or something, they do think about the power of nature. They are actually appreciating Krishna through his material nature. Then Prabhupada says, next life, they will become follower of demigod. Then next life, they will promote, they will come to become a follower of Shiva, sun god, like that. From ordinary demigod to sun god and Shivas, according to Prabhupada. Then next life, they will enter into the Vaishnavism slowly, slowly. So we are ahead. We should feel compassionate and give them prasadam. That's all we can do. They are on the fourth level, four more bar, at least.
Yes. Thank you. Anyone else? Any ladies have some questions? I know it's definitely, you know, if we try to fit all these facts and descriptions within our small brains, I'm speaking for myself, it just, you know, doesn't fit. We cannot actually conceive like this 4 billion personal servants. You know, like they were saying, well, where do they go to the bathroom and how do they get fed? And, you know, the brain is working in that way. But that is, Prabhupada never questions that. He just said, so then don't accept.
That, oh, you ran away 17 times, I defeated, and 18 times you ran away, and when it's little hot in the middle of the ocean, Jarasandha, that's what he thought. Even Kamsa told to Apurva, Prabhupada put this in natural devotion, Kamsa told Apurva, why are you accepting Krishna as the Supreme God? He killed a snake, watery snake, anybody can kill water snake. He considering Kaliya as a water snake. Then he said he lifted up a little pebble, anything, Govardhan. He thinks he's a little pebble, little water snake. So he is claiming, he has his view, is correct. So those who believe scientists were there to the conscious people, influence. They think that little pebble, little water snake, anything Krishna is searching for. They have their reason.
Or actually, more recently, they just describe it as mythology. These are exaggerations. They didn't really occur like this. And that is a popular academic view of Krishna. Is Mother Sri Vandam, and you had something?
Just a quick one line question. So what would you say? I just want to ask, in summary, so when we are at a book table and somebody says this to you, maybe they have read a book before and they come in, so what do you say if they say, how is it that 7 billion servants, what would be a one word or two word answer that you would give? Or I should give when I'm at a book table?
I think you just say, I don't think you can understand this.
Inconceivable. Take some of your
inconceivable. Yes, you had.
Thank you for the class. As far as, I don't know if a one or two-word answer can be given for that. How could there be 4 billion bodyguards for one King Ugrasena? But I don't know how much you can fit in a short explanation. But basically, understanding, like what was it from Jiva Goswami? The first thing we have to understand to understand anything in this philosophy is that Krishna has a chintya shakti. He has inconceivable potency. So I mean, that's the first thing we have to accept, that Krishna is inconceivable. That whatever we think is conceivable, he can turn to something inconceivable. Like Hiranyakashipu, he thought he saw this conceivable, just a pillar. From that, something inconceivable, a sky-high half-man, half-lion came out. So he has this achintya shakti. And then also understanding the holy dham, that whether it's Dwarka, Mathura, or Vrindavan, that, I mean, they're like little embassies from the spiritual world that actually, even though they're apparently within like a 32 square mile or whatever radius, but since it's a spiritual world, there really is unlimited space within there. Like you pointed out, that there can be unlimited universes within that area. So, especially considering the holy dhams, they're not limited in the same way. Especially for the great devotees, Sri Jiva Goswami says, even for the great devotees, they can still go to those places and still see all the different groups of Krishna's associates. So a lot of it has to do with the perceiver, the one who's seeing these things.
Well, you said, Prabhupada said, repeat the first thing. Prabhupada said, if you don't accept inconceivable, you cannot understand. Believe. Prabhupada said just like that. If you do not, Srila Prabhupada says that, Jiva Goswami Pada says, if you don't accept inconceivable, there is another point also Jiva Goswami Pada reminded me. Virudha dharman tasmin hi chitram. All contradictory opposite characteristics
simultaneously exist in the absolute truth. If somebody cannot accept that, then it's not possible. Mm-hmm. Means all pervasive God can be also limited form. Both exist simultaneously in him. He's everywhere, also in the altar. Both has to be existing. He is the unlimited riches, also he is the thief. Both has to be accepted.
Mm. Yes.
Otherwise not possible. Jiva Goswami Pad give very clear. That's very true.
Yes. Last little point is, I can remember even when I was a small child, my mother used to sing me a song, "How high is the sky, how deep is the ocean, how many ways do I love you," those kind of things. So
that was a religious song?
No,
oh.
I don't think it was. I think it was just my mother.
Popular song.
So even in love, things are all inconceivable. I mean, that's the, you know, by bhakti, bhakti mama bijananti. So, I mean, Krishna's not conquered by trying to understand. He's conquered by the love. So that's just shifted a little.
And I think the Prabhupada would usually go right to the most basic, simple part, that they cannot understand what it is that they are soul, their atma, that they are eternal, that they are Satchidananda, and that every living being is spiritual. They will kill them and say, oh, they're meant just for my eating, they have no soul, but they cannot understand what is the soul. So how can they understand so many other things? He won't let them go beyond that. And I remember also, like this, like other religionists would come, and Prabhupada would keep on the point, you know, why are you killing? Just to maintain. He wouldn't discuss any further philosophy until they could answer why they were continuing to kill. Yes, Mother Rukmini.
I'm just reminded of the cobbler's answer about the inconceivable banyan tree and the seed.
Hmm. Yes, that's true. The banyan tree, one little seed.
The elephant. Yeah, through the needle.
Elephant through the eye of the
needle.
That's
what Narayan was doing, though. That's a different example. It's a different realm.
I think Mukunda has something. While we're waiting to go over to Mukunda, I would just mention that as Rukmini Dwarkadish is involved in preaching in the Bhakti Vriksha groups that we're starting now, which is an outreach to very new people, it's important to understand that these kind of concepts may not be understandable, may be uncomfortable for new people. So we have to help them focus on what they can understand. And as Prabhupada said, don't bring on this point. Don't bring this point up about the 4 billion bodyguards. Go on the other points.
Yes, I think also the answers that you gave, that we cannot even literally understand all the functions of the material world, but yet we're trying to inquire about the nature of a world that we say exists beyond this. Yes. So at least they should be able to answer all of the relative questions of this world if they want definitive answers about that world. But for the sake of devotees, also it's clearly explained by Jiva Goswami that time, space, and dimension serve under Mahamaya in this world and offer conditions to the Jiva when it's in this world. In the spiritual dimension, time, space, and dimension are servants of Yogamaya Devi, Lila Shakti, for the pleasure of the Lord. Therefore, Gatana Agatana Patayasi Shakti is always in place. The Lord has the ability, like even Rasleela, also billions of gopis were dancing that night. Same thing with the servants of King Ugrasen. So time, space, dimension, they're servants of Krishna's Leela. They're not impositions of conditions like they are in this world. So for devotees, that should be clear.
Yes, it's like, as Prabhu was speaking, how there can be billions of gopis on the bank of the river Jamuna. And then, like, I know one other devotee who's got involved in the Save Jamuna campaign. They're trying to get 500,000 people to march in favor of that from Vrindavan all the way to this beyond Delhi. And such an endeavor, such an arrangement that will be to
organized something 10 days, a 500,000 people marching, accommodations and feeding them. It's pretty, that will be inconceivable. Yes, Rukmini, one last question, point.
Because we have to build faith first, so it's not a matter of figuring out, it's beyond it.
Mm,
so it's really like pointing to the direction of, in spiritual life, it's not about figuring and trying to understand, it's beyond. So it's a pointer, really, more than trying to understand.
Yes, and for a new person, it's a little challenging to get them to feel that faith, so that they will accept rather than the normal current of the society nowadays. People want to get their question answered this way, that way, scientifically. So to get them to that point of faith is difficult. It takes chanting, prasadam, association, devotees. Then they'll be able to understand. It's like, I think one man came, I don't remember the subject, but he was a scholar. He came to challenge or ask a question of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told him, just go in the kitchen and wash the pots. And he wouldn't answer them directly. And afterwards he said, no, now I understand better after you wash the pots. All right, let's stop here. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.